When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Come on.
Well, I'm Left Blood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Arvin Kamsay. Arvin, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's go. Arvin is a Fortune 500 marketer. He's an NFT marketer. He's also always been on the forefront of new tech trends. He's consulted with over 200 NFT brands, and he is an established thought leader in the space. Arvin, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, 100%. And by the way, as of now, it's actually about 400 NFT projects. So back then it was 200. Personal life, I work a lot, obviously, just, you know, with everything that's going on with cryptos and NFTs, just so volatile in this industry. But when I get time, I do some Krav Maga, some Bachata dance. And then also I have about 20 more hours to get my pilot license. So do some fun stuff. And then when it comes to the NFT side of things, I've been in the marketing industry for almost 10 years. I've worked with a lot of public companies doing the investor relationship marketing. What it involves, for people who don't know, it's essentially finding short-term and long-term investors online. We were spending, $500K a month to get in front of a lot of people. And I was managing that, obviously. Back in 2021, October-ish, there was an artist from Italy. He approached me. He said, I have a great track record in finding investors online. If I could find investors to buy digital art as well. And this guy had a very small collection size. So he had about 12 pieces, digital art. He had a lot of physical, but his digital artwork was very limited. And then we sold it out in about a week. And that was a proof of concept for me, where I was like, okay, everything I've done in the public company side of things is actually relevant in the NFTs, selling digital art. For people who maybe they know us a little bit more, essentially investor deck. So the team, the future, the track record, the problem, solution, things like that in this investor deck, and the projections, everything is literally NFT website. So if you look at any NFT website, it's exactly the same. And so anyways, that month alone, I worked with about 100 NFT projects, and then about 100 every other month. I've worked with about 400 plus NFT projects. As I've started, working with larger projects, I wasn't able to take on like that many projects at the same time and consult so many of them. So I can't do 100 a month anymore, but it's the part that I'm very interested in, to just see how an artist could come out and with some sort of digital art if they don't have it already, and then selling out essentially eliminating that notion of starving artist. like that's a big goal that I think everyone in the Web3 space could strive for.
It's a certainly such a extremely exciting time. It's super dynamic time. We're having this conversation on May the 25th, and I don't know if the term is NFTs have exploded, but just nobody knew what they were, or very few of us knew what they were, and now they are just ubiquitous. Everybody knows sort of what they are. And I don't know if we're in sort of a bear market right now. What are your thoughts of just sort of the current climate?
Yeah, so we're certainly in the bear market. And I would say it started maybe 2 weeks ago-ish. And then there is this could be at the same time as a recession that some people are saying we're already going through or we're about to get to. So just for people to get us understanding. So NFTs came about 2017. Cyberpunks was one of the early projects. And then it was a 10,000 collection size. And then since then, everyone thought they have to do 10,000 collection size too. So a lot of people are doing the same, but there could be any size of collection. And then this year, it's been obviously a lot harder to sell out projects. So like last year, I remember we would, you know, just have a website, just say, here's some pieces of art. And, you know, whether it be at 5,000, 10,000, whatever it was, and we would just say, hey, on the roadmap, we're going to do a bunch of things, cool things in the metaverse. We're going to have some staking, maybe play to earn games, so on and so forth. And then everyone would come and buy everything. Now, in the bear market right now, that's not the case. In fact, last night, people in my mastermind, we were just talking about, it's just basically this alpha group. We're just talking about things that are happening and like just analyzing everything that's happening in the market. It's actually hard to find projects that are selling out right now. And so for that reason, as far as collector side of things, they're holding back to buy a lot of expensive NFTs. They are buying a lot of cheap NFTs, which is something that's very interesting because it's the time to buy. Everything is discounted basically right now. And then the more of a pricey NFTs, they're having a hard time selling out. So they can't really sell out unless they do certain things, which I'm happy to talk about too. But as far as the founder side of things, when it comes to selling NFTs, people, I just told you, like I went through about somewhere around 1,000 DMs on my Twitter. Over the past 2 months, I had about 1,000 DMs. So that's direct messages. And out of those, I literally messaged everyone back and just said, hey, how is your collection going? How is everything going? Literally just that question. And I just wanted to get a sense of like real time, real data from the market. And majority of people, majority of these collections, and I hate to say this, but majority of them either wiped out or they're about to. But then on the bright side of this is a great thing that's happening for a lot of people because the projects that are serious, they have legitimate reasons to be here and they have a team, even if they don't have a team, but they have enough resources, whether it be individually or as a team, to be able to actually sustain a project. They have great utilities, meaning like benefits that they will provide for people who buy their NFTs. They are going to stay and actually it's going to be way better for them. So it's going to be a lot simpler for them to not compete with, you know, 500 new projects coming out every day. So that's what we were dealing with at the beginning of this year, 500 new projects every day. And that was crazy. That was making it very hard for us, right? We had to try so much harder. But now the market has reset itself. So it's not the cash grab opportunity that everyone just, you know, and their, you know, friends, they can just say, hey, let's just get into this. It's more like, okay, it actually takes some work, some preparation. And that's perfect because if someone can actually do those things and they're serious to stay in the Web3, industry, then they're going to do really well and they're going to be appreciated. And so in a way, obviously it's sad to see, you know, a lot of people have to abandon their projects. And that actually, by the way, could cause a lot of scams and what we call a rug pull, could be a lot of them because they just can't sustain themselves. But on the bright side of things, everyone now has to innovate. Everyone has to be great. Like with, you know, just like a small project that doesn't have any meaningful reasons to be in this market, they can't stay. So now everyone's thinking about how they can be different, how they can be better, develop themselves a lot better. It's perfect. Like we really needed that. So back in, I want to say November 2021, that's about a month after Meta. So Mark Zuckerberg company, Meta, previously known as Facebook, he announced that he's going to have this metaverse. And the metaverse is going to be including a lot of NFTs, like everything, all the pieces, all the assets inside this metaverse is going to be NFTs. And so because of that, and because so many large companies like Sony, so many of celebrities like Snoop Dogg and so many people actually got into buying lands in the metaverse and buying a lot of NFTs. Back in, I want to say end of November, December time, the search inquiries for NFTs surpassed cryptocurrencies. So a lot of people now, they were looking for NFTs, right? So they were just wanting to see what it is, right? And at the beginning, all those people who started looking for it, they just started just creating whatever projects they could come up with just to make some money. And then that time has passed. So it's no longer just whatever projects. Now it's all just going to be great projects, at least for a while.
And I imagine it's probably sort of the natural order of things where something new comes on the scene in 2017 and people flood it because they're interested in releasing their art, but also making money, which is all fantastic. But now we're going to see a shakeout, and the only thing moving forward, or probably the ones that will be successful, will be high quality. And are there a framework? I almost feel silly saying because we're talking about art a lot of the time, so it's all going to be different and unique. But is there a framework that says this is what an NFT really has to have?
Yeah. So the digital art, obviously, that part. So initially, they were all some sort of animals. So they were all derivatives of animals, right? So we had every single animal that you can think of on somewhere on these marketplaces of NFTs. And at some point, we all just got sick of it ourselves. So we were buying them. But then at some point, we're just like, okay, that's enough. Like we just bought so many of these animals. And I think we just, you know, the time for that has also passed, right? So there was literally a time where everyone's profile pictures, not only on Twitter, also on LinkedIn, which I found really odd. On LinkedIn, it was just some sort of animals. And I actually had this experience a few days ago. I was going through my feed on Twitter, and I was just thinking about like, if some of these people that are just, I'm just talking with, like if they're actually just like teenagers, if they're like grown, you know, adults, like, I don't even know at this point. Right. So, it could be whatever. Right. So you don't even know who you're talking to at this point, and they all sound the same. Right. So they use the NFT lingos, the minting and aping in and so on and so forth. And so you can't even understand like who this, like what age group you're talking to, which is kind of odd experience, but, anyway, so the animals side of things that has passed. Now, funny enough, I'm actually creating a collection myself, and the name has one of these animals in it, but we have nothing to do with any of those collections. We're not going to be derivative, but we do have something in the name about it, just because it just happens to be relevant in this case. Anyways, the animals have just out of the trends. The 2D is out of the trends. So now it's more 3D type of art. The pixelated is not really the type of thing people want to see anymore. So mostly 3D, audio, video, and then experiential things. So like, for example, AI and VR, they both are also getting in. Very few projects, they're implementing it, but it's also really cool. So you can actually have an NFT that, for example, you can speak with. And you can train them so they become better at actually responding, whatever that means within that NFT project. And so there's some cool stuff happening with that. And then also like music for musicians is definitely really a futuristic idea, because now they don't have to have the middleman as much. They can just have their collection, have their, let's say, soundtracks going to people directly without having to pay someone in between. So as far as the artwork, that's the evolution of it. So it's going from animals and 2D, mostly to 3D and video and audio, and just more of experiential things, and also just really good art. Like now we're actually getting into the part where people actually releasing like really great art. It's not just all, same thing that you will see, just a slightly different. And so that's as far as the art side of things. And then as far as the community, so everyone, I guess every collection need to have a Discord community, a Twitter community. Those are a must. And it's interesting because there have been projects that they didn't have a Discord. So for example, just recently, it's either OK Bears or No OK Bears, one of them, I don't know. But one of them didn't have a Discord. And because of that, people started actually just connecting with each other on Twitter Spaces. People don't know what Twitter Spaces are. It's just like, think about like Facebook Lives, but it's on Twitter and it's only audio, or it's just Clubhouse. Maybe that's a better example. And so that's as far as the community side of things. So those two, Twitter and Discord, they have to be there for the most part, unless your project is an anomaly. And if you try to do it without it, then you fall into the old type of marketing, which is the Web 2 marketing. Right now we're in Web 3. So if you do any of the Web 2 marketing, it doesn't work. People don't recognize it. People don't want to follow you because they just feel like you just haven't caught on with the new trends. And then the next part is the hype, which is not, so depends how people define that term. Obviously, the way I define it is having more demand than there is supply. So the distinction here is, imagine you go buy something off some, let's say, store like Adidas. Actually, maybe Adidas is the best example. So let's say if you buy clothing from Adidas, maybe sneakers or whatever that is, or maybe a hoodie, whatever that is, and you can go buy this anytime, and you can look at this item for month and month, and then buy it whenever you feel like buying it. But that's not, so that's Web 2. Web 3 is not like that. You can't have a collection just being open to people for month and month. There is a timeline. So 2 to 4 weeks, sometimes even 4 to 6 weeks, but that's it. You can't just keep it open forever. So it's the scarcity that's different. And even like Adidas, for example, they have their NFTs. They just launched it. I believe they sold out in like a few minutes, right? And so it's not the same thing as Web 2. And this is something that people don't understand most of the time. They try to force it. They're trying to make it, they say, oh, well, I just want to make it easier for myself or maybe for people. I don't want to give people a deadline, but that doesn't work. It's just the nature of this industry is needing scarcity. And then the last piece is utility. And that's actually right now is one of the most important one. So what are the benefits of holding the NFT? So if you think about, just the artwork alone is going to cut it. For example, you would think, Picasso, right? So the most well-known painter, if that was the case, like he would have sold out in seconds, but he didn't. The reason is just Web 3 and Web 2, again, they're very different. It's, you can't just have like an amazing art and just put it out there and then everyone rushes into buying it. It's not like that. So you need to have a utility, meaning once someone buys your NFT, they need to be entitled to specific benefits. And so benefits could be, they get passive income. Every month they get some money back, royalties. They could get Exclusive membership to events, meeting people. If it's celebrities, like I've worked with some celebrities as well. It could be like just meeting the celebrities for maybe dinner or some gathering, gala, whatever that is. Or it could just be that, for example, a software that you will have access to, many, many utilities out there, but there has to be something, there has to be benefits. So the art alone is not enough for people to just buy it. Just recently, I saw something from that has a collaboration with NASA, where they will just make you an astronaut. And so by just holding this NFT, not like going through the entire training, but it's just like a very obviously short experience. But that's what we're talking about, right? So those are the elements for actually launching a successful NFT, which is completely different than launching a product in e-commerce or, your small business or even like large businesses.
Awesome. I appreciate that. Appreciate you breaking that down and what it really takes to have a successful project. And that all makes sense. I think it is super interesting. Do you think that this is going to be the gold standard for just introducing products moving forward as well? Not just an NFT, but kind of anything?
Yeah, well, it certainly is a very important part of being relevant to the market. So, which is why like all these even fashion companies, they're starting to roll out something as form of NFT. Not because just they want to make money, because they can already make money with many, many ways, but they want to be relevant to their audience. They want to be relevant to their fans. And they want it, like people want it. They want to see what the NFT from Sony would look like, what the NFT from like Adidas or Pepsi or, and by the way, I think Pepsi and Adidas, both of them have NFTs. So I think that's partly because people want it. It's just relevant. And then partly because it could be an additional source of revenue. And then lastly is when Facebook is going to distribute metaverse on larger scale, then part of our everyday life is going to be in the metaverse. And if you don't have, for example, a car, which would be an NFT, then you can't drive in the metaverse, which is really weird thing to say right now, but down the line, it's just as is the equivalent of saying like, I don't have a phone, right? So I can't actually function without a phone, right? Now in the near future, we will have it where you need to have certain NFTs to be able to actually function on a daily basis with everything that's going on around us, right? Whether it be the parties that you go into, the business meetings you go into, so on and so forth.
Brave new world, almost literally.
Yeah,
Arvin.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Arvin, the people are ready for that difference making tip. What do you have for them?
Yeah. So, if they're obviously collectors, and depends on when they're listening to this, but if they're collectors, just paying attention to the arts that they really like and they want to support and just holding on to them, just because it's not just about making money. I think it was, and like we all want to make money into this too, but there is a different side to this Web3 where we can actually expand this and just make our life quality better. So NFTs are not just about artists neither. Like they actually solve real life problems. Like for example, authenticity in fashion, there's no solution for it. Or like storing information, for example, in sports, where, you know, for let's say athletes, they have something about their health and you need to store that information, but you want to make sure it's not distributed. There's no other solution better than NFTs for that. So there's certain things that you can only solve it with NFTs. So I guess the one thing I would want from the collector side of things is to actually just supporting people basically stumbling their way through just building things in this new industry. And then on the founder side of things, really taking NFT launches very seriously. It's not a hobby. And just like doing literally everything that they need to do to like, literally, like we were talking last night in a mastermind, like 24/7, like this is your thing. This is your new life. Not as a side thing, not as a hobby thing. Cause then we would just get the, the negative connotation for it. Like everyone who is actually staying in this for long, we will get the consequences of that. So yeah, so for the collectors supporting, and then for the founders really taking things seriously and just literally doing everything that's required, not doing it their own way, basically.
Well, I think that is great stuff that definitely gets it. Come on. Arvind, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yes. So Arvind K NFT on all socials. So that's ARVINKNFT. And on Twitter, I'm most responsive. And then also I have a lot of case studies, a lot of interviews, speaking that I provided on my website. That's soldoutnfts.io. That's spelled as soldnfts.io. And the case studies essentially show how projects selling out, whether it be a bear market or not bear market. And so people can just learn, get ideas, do it for themselves as well.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed this much as I did, show Arvind your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Find him on social media at ArvindKNFT, and then check out soldoutnfts.io, like all those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Arvind.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.